Good morning. Today, will Whitewater and Hillary sink President Clinton's bid for 4 more years? We meet the Pretoria megastar unknown to his fellow whites, hear why they're shouting Fuera Madonna in Buenos Aires, and stroll from Europe to Africa without getting our feet wet. But first, it seems as if Western pressure on the formerly warring factions of Bosnia has borne some fruit this week. From this afternoon, hundreds of prisoners of war are expected to be released, and the Bosnian Serbs announced they were reversing their earlier decision and would be cooperating with the investigators looking into alleged war crimes. So far, though, there's been no agreement over what to do with the suspected mass grave sites which have been identified in various parts of Bosnia. Tom Carver has spent the last few days investigating the sites, which may contain hundreds, maybe thousands of bodies.
It was a low, cheaply built barn, white in colour and modern in design. Before the war, we were told, it was used by the nearby villages as an agricultural cooperative. Today, it bore all the usual signs of conflict. Scorch marks down one wall, a huge hole in the roof caused by a tank round. But otherwise, it would not have caused a passerby to look twice in this devastated country. Why have we stopped here? I asked Branko, our minder and guide. This, he said, is where the Americans claim many Bosnian Muslim men were executed after the fall of Srebrenica. Make of it what you will, he added with a shrug, as if to say you shouldn't believe everything the Americans tell you. Branko was a Bosnian Serb, and immediately discounted the idea that his fellow countrymen could have murdered so many people in cold blood. The first thing that struck me as strange was the huge number of bullet holes round the entrance to one of the barns. It was as if someone had stood outside and fired into the barn with a machine gun, often missing and hitting the wall and door instead. We stepped inside. There was straw on the floor. It looked fresh. Then I noticed the wall on the far side. Directly opposite the entrance, it was smeared in blood and peppered with more bullet holes. The blood had dried to a rusty ochre colour. In some places, it looked as if it had hit the rough breeze blocks with some force, like a jet. In other places, it was smudged, as if a wounded person had slid down the wall. I cannot say that this was the place of a mass execution. How can I? I'm only a journalist, not a forensic scientist. And afterwards, I was beset with doubts. If so many people were killed there, I thought, why wasn't there more blood? But then I realized that if it had been filled with people, and someone had opened fire on them from the doorway, most of the victims would have fallen on top of each other, and only those at the very back would have been thrown against the wall. They say that evil leaves a trace on the scene. But this, if it happened at all, was not evil, I felt, in a cold, calculating way, but simple hatred. As likely as not, some soldiers were ordered to open fire, which they did on the unarmed men without compunction. In a minute, it was probably all over, and no one bothered to wash the blood off the walls. In the next door barn was a litter of pigs snuffling around quite happily. Smoke was coming from a chimney. I knocked on the door. An old man and his wife were warming themselves beside a brazier. They'd only come back last month, they said. They hadn't seen a thing. They didn't know anything about an execution. They both looked rather alarmed at the very idea. I felt almost sorry for asking them. 2 kilometers further down the road, we pulled off down a short muddy track between yet more devastated houses. The village of Glogovo, a name that is likely to become quite well known over the next few months. This, said Branko, is where the Americans claim we buried the bodies of hundreds of Muslim men in a mass grave. He gestured at a raw patch of red earth, lying like an open wound among the trees and thick vegetation. What were we to make of this, I thought. It had obviously been very recently disturbed by heavy machinery. It was about the size of half a football pitch. I noticed them as soon as we got out of the vehicles, jutting up white and jagged from the clay-red soil. I couldn't be sure they were human bones, but they didn't look as if they belonged to any animal. I lifted them up. They felt somehow curiously impersonal in my hands. No one I know, I thought to myself grimly. But the longer I held them, the more uneasy I became. Dimly I began to feel that the earth had thrown these up as harbingers from the grim underworld of whatever lay beneath our feet. Of course, the simple presence of a mass grave is not proof of a war crime. Though listening to some of my colleagues, the Serbs have already been found guilty before any trial has begun. What we must never forget is that these graves were a product of a war, a vicious and very nasty war. Those of us fortunate enough to live in peace have no idea what it's like to live in war. The emotions that it stirs, the rumors that it nurtures, the fears that it feeds on. I hope that I will never kill anyone, especially in cold blood, but I can't say that I never would. Before we rush to condemn whatever occurred in those terrible days after the fall of Srebrenica last year, let us remember they happened in war and that they were committed by humans. Humans like you and me.